Believe.
Believe. Now, my dear brethren, what a blessed privilege again it has been to meet here at the feet of Jesus together this week. We were welcomed on Saturday by the words, "Come unto me, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God." We should daily praise him and consider, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus," from 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And we are admonished to give thanks to him every day, praise him for the wonderful privilege of walking in our Lord's footsteps. And also for always keeping in our mind that wonderful gift of his Son, the greatest gift that was ever given, wherein we can have a standing before our Heavenly Father and know him and indeed call him Father. We're going to start out with a theme text from Mark 11, verse 24. And we're going to have a kind of a secondary theme text also. But reading from the NASB, "Therefore I send to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you." Now, brethren, if you came to this convention with a sincere desire in your heart and incorporate that spirit in the Word of God so that you may have that foundation to believe that you're entitled to grasp hold on these blessed promises, the wonderful scriptures that we have been taught from our Heavenly Father, "Receive them and ye shall have them. Ye shall make them your own." We desire only such things that are promised, though, in God's Word. Going on to another familiar scripture, Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Again, we are to seek him with a heart hunger for knowing more of him, for knowing of our Creator, and a longing that nothing else can satisfy. We heard that expressed already. "Truly blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness and wants the rest of that, because he shall be filled. It shall be provided to him." You wish to know him. You wish to obey him, to serve him. And so you come here, you go to your meetings in your local ecclesias, you listen online, you join in to diligently seek him and know more of his ways. Now, during this week, each of us should have found something that we listened to in the services that could be applied to our spiritual growth and development. How many of us, upon listening to a discourse or taking part in the study, have felt that those words, that study, that comment was just for me? It was directed right to me. It came right to my mind and to my heart. But also, I think this week, and starting especially the first couple days, we also drew a little bit closer to one another as true yoke fellows together with one another and with our dear Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. We have been reminded of the difficult experiences that so many of our dear ones, our brethren, have been going through. And that drew us even closer together as body members. Body members, many members, but again, sharing in joys, sharing in sorrows, but it's all for that betterment of the body of Christ as a whole. It's part of that compassion, that understanding for our brethren that we have been shown and illustrated so very well this week. And you know, the Heavenly Father He provides us just what we need and just when we need it. It's that water of His Word. So many rich blessings. Sometimes it's comfort and consolation. It's meat in due season. It's even the finest of the wheat from His rich storehouse. He gives us so much. And especially His love. How many have felt the love of the Heavenly Father with you this week? Certainly, we take that with us. And we build upon that and we use it. And we pass that on to others that we come in contact with. And when we say to somebody, I love you, those aren't just words. They can't be just words. You have to come out of our heart, our innermost places, our feelings, our compassion for one another. As body members, as I said. Realizing that we have so much to be responsible for. And along with this, we remember the verse from Luke 12:48. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. And so when we leave here and go back to our daily life matters, we're encouraged to do what? Apply those things that we've heard, that we've listened to our daily lives, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And then continue faithfully along that journey, that walk in the narrow way. We can grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, continue faithfully, which does what? It helps us to go on and improve and lead that life pleasing to Him, and if faithful, have that eternal life with Him in heaven. We're so thankful that we have been called of God, that our eyes of understanding are open to this message of truth. And to be included, really, in the few that have found it. That's Matthew 7:14. You found that pearl of great price. Now, many definitions I've looked at for believe, and the one that I like best is this. To feel sure without a doubt concerning the truth. I think that applies so well to us. His plan, really every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we also see within that, from Hebrews 11:6, that importance of faith. Continue to develop our faith and trust in Him and in His Word. Casting our care upon Him because what? He cares for you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. And part of that involves then again our submissiveness. We realize that. And He opened up that new and living way for us. That new and living way through the veil, that is to say His flesh. Having complied with those conditions, how blessed are the words, having therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, by that new and living way, which He has consecrated for us. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from that evil conscience, and we've talked about that this week, and our bodies washed with pure water. And then there's more. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that has promised. You know, that's Hebrews 10:19-23. Also, another scripture I'd like to bring out and mention, Acts 13:39. Acts 13:39, this is King James. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses, that we may have communion with God and do works acceptable to Him. Again then, so whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. And I think that it applies really to our morning thoughts we had about reconciliation. Let us strive to dwell together in unity of the Spirit, having that mind of Christ. But only that mind, it's that disposition. It's that love for one another. It's that love for our fellow man. Romans 3:26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. All who shall become his disciples and follow his leading and direction must do this. Again, it can never be a half-hearted service, as we all realize. We had wonderful lessons this week concerning God's mercy, as shown in Luke, the 10th chapter and the 15th chapter. About what? The prodigal son, the lost sheep, the good Samaritan. This is evidence of that type of compassion that we must have. And not that we just pull out the compassion when it's convenient, but it is always supposed to be with us. Also, we had lessons about the temptations that are common to man from 1 Corinthians 10:13. And we're going to touch on that if time permits as we go on. We were told also that we are to shine as lights in the world, Philippians 2, verses 14 and 16. What's the reason? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our goal each day is to give glory to God, to praise his name, to show forth that plan of the ages, that will bring blessings to all the families of the earth, to those that have that listening ear. We also were reminded of the importance of responding to those words, my son, give me thine heart. And that goes then with that, that's Proverbs 23:26. And that's that full setting apart, that sanctification that does what? If faithful, it leads to glorification. What wonderful blessings we have from the Father. It's so important that we always keep them in mind. And also, in so doing, let us walk circumspectly. Let us be looking around for ways for service, help, compassion, and understanding, especially to the household of faith, but also to mankind. We follow our Lord's example, and let thine eyes observe my ways. We have those eyes of understanding through the Holy Spirit to see and know the will of God. We heard it even expressed today, I believe, that we're not supposed to just be a hearer. It's not enough to be a hearer of the word. We must be a doer. Again, the application is so important. And that difficult part. So I'm saying application, application, application. We're supposed to abstain from evil speaking, gossip, slander. And again, show forth that love and that word of God. And keep your thoughts and motives and actions as pure as possible. That's our commission. We also heard words from the theme discourse from Philippians 3:14. I press on towards that mark. And as runners, we know that they positively declare their intention. Their intention is to run the race and to finish that race. So must we make that covenant with our Lord, our vow of consecration. And it's something we all know we're not entering into lightly. We count the cost. And each day we do that. It's not a one-time thing. Each day that we're privileged to know him and walk this narrow way and run that race, we're keeping the proper nourishment. And it's not really the prize toward which the runners run, Brother Russell said, but it is the mark that we're looking toward. Realizing that our steps are ordered of the Lord. We want to make positive, deliberate, progress. And we must sow. Because, brethren, your life has meaning. It has a purpose. You have been called to these wonderful joys of the Lord. So this should encourage us to note the marks on the way and perceive our progress, as I said, if we are coming nearer to the mark which wins that prize, such as avoiding self-satisfaction, having singleness of purpose, forgetting the things which are behind. We cannot do anything about last week, yesterday, 2 hours ago, except get on our knees and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes it's asking for forgiveness for our brethren. Something we've said or done. We're going to fall short. But we have that attitude. We have that attitude, well, that's just the way I am. Or we have that attitude, I'm a vessel that needs to be worked with. I'm in that preparation process. And we want to have good habits of thought. Philippians 4:8. And also, I heard it just a little while ago in the discourse. Energetic zeal. The zeal. Burning and shining lights. You have that desire. Everybody who came to this convention had to make some kind of a sacrifice. And here you are. This is where you want to be. Again, you're going toward that mark of perfect love, where our Lord always stood, attained by us by making that consecration and making it complete, the four stages we were looking at briefly. We have duty love to God and our Lord Jesus and man. We have love for God because of his glorious character. We have love for the brethren, which overlooks their imperfections. Again, if you want to have your imperfections overlooked and be forgiven, you have to forgive and overlook the imperfections of others. And then you go to perfect love toward God, our brethren, all men, which even includes our enemies. It's easy to love those that love you, we're told. I think Brother Obi mentioned about some problem with somebody, and it was hard to love that person. But he overcame that, and he provided help to that person. What a wonderful example of putting these things, putting your faith, putting your views, putting your love into action. So we have that love and loyalty as disciples to our Lord Jesus. And again, it's tested because we're walking contrary to the world, as we've mentioned. And we want to, as it says once again in 1 Corinthians 10:31, to do all things to the glory of God. That's our thought in the morning, our waking hour. Let me lead a life pleasing to you, dear Father, today. Let me overcome my weaknesses. With your help, I know I'll be able to. And you know, how good it is to know that the Heavenly Father and His Son are watching over us at all times. He has assured us his watch-cared love for the brethren through his promises. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all in a sin, that the promises by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But of course, we must comply with its requirements. I'm sure that we all have a special promise that we have in our minds that comes from the Father. Perhaps we view all of His promises in that manner. Just briefly, one of my favorites, and it was quoted today, it's Isaiah 35. Perhaps it was a type of work I did in the medical field. The highway of holiness. The lame man shall leap as a hart. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf unstopped. There shall be no more death. That beauty of the resurrection, mankind living on a restored, perfect earth, forever in love and peace. Also, I think we all have this thought. When we gather together, we think of those who are not with us today, who have walked this narrow way before, but have proven faithful along with them, will help to bring these wonderful things that we mentioned from Isaiah to be a reality. Just think of it. Helping mankind to be taught of God, to know of Him, to have that love, and have a zeal for Him. And then no more sickness and no more death. What a wonderful promise from the Heavenly Father. So He has these promises, and again, we're going to quote, and I know you know this one. We're going to read it from the NASB once again. It's Psalm 40, verse 5. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, are the wonders which You have done, and Your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with You. If I would declare and speak of them, they are too numerous to count. You know, brethren, the promises of God, they're very potent factors in our Christian life. So powerful are they that in 2 Peter 1:4, the apostle declares that by our yielding to the blessed implications, we are to be made partakers of the divine nature. That is, we are prepared, made ready for exaltation now. And we all know we're on trial for life. This is it. This is our time. Let's make the most of our opportunities, our meeting together, our studies. In Hebrews 4:1, apostle urges us to be on alert lest we come short of any of those promises. And as we said, the promises have conditions attached to them. So we want to make sure that we are making those promises, that truth, our own daily. And have a faith that's unwavering. Look at Abraham. We read Romans 4, verses 20 to 22. He staggered not at the promise of God, but he was strong in faith. So we must believe that what he has promised us. We are justified. We have faith in the promises of God. Particularly those promises which give assurance that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Being justified by faith, we have the peace of God through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, 5:1 in Romans. This must be, brethren, as we've alluded to, a working faith, a living faith that takes a course in life consistent with the profession of our faith. Do you believe that faith can firmly trust Him come what may? You must. Because as we realize, and we've talked about it this week, there are mountaintop experiences and there are valley experiences. And, you know, our Heavenly Father, and I know that you know, He's such a loving Father. He doesn't make them all mountaintop. He doesn't make them all valley. Yeah, we have the ups and downs. But that's our shaping, our chiseling, our polishing of our character. Be prepared for that future work. So again, many and varied are those promises which assure us of the importance that God has with acceptance of them through Christ. Also, he says, there's a rich heritage concerning the servants of the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. Their righteousness is of me. Their righteousness is of me. We must grasp the meaning of this promise. What a blessed assurance. Despite our imperfections, we stand justified before God. No condemnation from Him. But He's dealing with that new creature growth and development. And through the Holy Spirit, which He shed abundantly on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. Once again, there are conditions, as we mentioned, by these promises that we can be partakers of the divine nature. And these promises, it's by their encouragement, by their authority, by our own faithfulness, so all the conditions attached to them, and by the inspirational power in our lives. So we press on to that mark for the high calling. And we need that strength from our Heavenly Father and His Son. And also, we have that strength from each other. That our brethren hold our hands. They know that God wants what's best for us in our lives. And they know, although He'll never leave us or forsake us in Hebrews 13:5, we're supposed to have that love that we would do anything for each other. And just briefly, sometimes they're referred to as the ifs, these conditions. Remember those conditions. Keep in mind the ifs. It's true. It's only if we abide in Christ and abide in His Word, we have the privilege of asking for what we need as new creatures in the way directed, again, along spiritual lines. Direct my past, help me to understand, let me apply these things. Also, Peter describes this as adding to our faith that virtue, knowledge, self-control, cheerful endurance, piety, brotherly kindness, love. If these things be in us and abound, Peter says, we will not be barren or idle. And we never want to be idle. We want to be active in His service, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And if you do these things, what's He promise? You shall never fall, never fail. And you'll have that abundant answers unto us into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Again, that's 2 Peter 1, really verses 4 to 11. So, if by virtue of these promises we are to attain that divine nature, it's important now, as we have said, to give all diligence, all our attention. It's that one thing I do that's brought out in Philippians 3:13. And this is the only approach in the Christian life will result in victory. Remember, the victory that overcometh even our faith. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Realize at the same time, to have these promises in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, Paul admonishes us that we should cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and then to perfect holiness in the fear of God, that reverence of God. He speaks in Hebrews 6:12. These through faith and patience inherit the promises. So, brethren, have these promises of the Heavenly Father truly become yours? Do you clearly see them? Do you believe them? We know that we must do that in our lives to mature properly. We see now through a glass darkly, 1 Corinthians 13:12. But then what? Just think of it. Just think of it. Then one day, face to face. It's so much we can barely comprehend it. But we know that's a sure promise from God. Brethren, do you believe that you are His workmanship? Ephesians 2, 10 and 11. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained, that we should walk in His ways. Again, in character likeness with the dear Son. And He, at the same time, He said, as we're kept under shadow of His wing, He gives us rest, love, and peace. Not rest from our experiences, but resting on His promises, His plans and purposes, His sure word. And then, brethren, you are His building. He has established your goings. Psalm 40, verse 2. And although he's firmly established us upon that rock, Christ Jesus and the apostles, we realize that we're surrounded by enemies. Satan's that roaring lion. We must contend against the opposition of the world, with the foes within, our fallen flesh. And we realize that our mind can be a special battleground. We can get discouraged just by reading the news and see the events. Well, we know it's taking place. We have the lessons on deteriorating conditions in the world. The discussion of approaching Armageddon. We see the storms and winds and waves. What are they doing? They're not just calm. They're roaring. The seas and waves roaring. The restless masses of humanity who all want their rights. They're rising up. And what did our Lord do? He calmed the sea. He said, "Peace, be still." And it will be so. One day. So, brethren, it's so important in this day, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:13, we've heard it this week, put your armor on. Do you have your armor on, brethren? You'll certainly need his protection when you go out among your daily life's experiences after you leave this place. And also, he has a fortress for us. The fortress. David wrote, in Psalm 91, 1 and 2, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Again, those just can't be words that we read out of the Bible. They have to be our way of life. We put our trust in the Most High. And we have these wonderful thoughts that we brought out in Psalm 40, verse 5. Toward us who believe. So, brethren, always keep in mind these wonderful promises. We have also been given that idea of perfection that we have been looking towards. But right now, we fight against self, a major battle. Self and his resistance to sacrifice. The old man and his old ways. Again, that's our special battleground. We heard those lessons, as we mentioned just briefly earlier, from 1 Corinthians 10:13. We heard about those lessons, temptations that have come to mankind. But for a different reason with us. It's to help us to be molded, shaped in character likeness, and then to be sympathetic high priest one day, if faithful. Realizing, as it was said in that study, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you can endure. What did he say? "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden." As I said, I'll give you that rest. Study, apply. Learn of me and sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And as we said, I think Brother Ernie said it, always be ready to give that answer to every man that asketh you for the reason of that hope that is within you with meekness and fear or reverence. That hope, that faith of being made perfect with Christ. So we have these blessed things to consider, to remember in our lives, dear brethren. I think part of being ready to give that answer for that hope and faith that is demonstrated not only by our words, but also by our conduct. Our conduct. You know, we shouldn't be this, you've heard this before, I'm sure. We shouldn't be this a type of a person here at this convention, and then a different type in the world, in our jobs, and another type when we're out driving or what have you. You'll say, "Well, people don't see that." But the Lord sees. His eyes are going to and fro. He sees the sincerity of your heart. It's our conduct. Galatians 2:20. Realizing I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Also, there's more. Do you believe that you're required to study? The notes that you've taken, the lessons that you sit on, that you may be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. But then, again, let a man examine himself. Are you studying these things? And then, as we mentioned, applying them. We do this around memorial time, but I think it's a daily examination. Am I living up to my vows of consecration? Am I doing these things? Am I walking worthy of God who hath called us unto kingdom and glory? So he called you unto this kingdom, whereunto he hath called you by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And also that he's instructed us. These words, of course, are spoken to in the scriptures in Isaiah 61:1-3. Concerning our Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. These good tidings of great joy, God's truth, his grace, his mercy, his pure water of truth, that we're drawn to at this convention. And what does he also promise us in Psalm 23? I will have you lay down in the green pastures and by those still waters, that deep water of truth. And you desire that water of truth. You partake of it in warm days, cool days, and especially when a day is hot. The days of distress, trials, experiences, when we need it the most. And it will always bring you comfort and refreshment. His water of truth will revitalize you. That water of life, the living water of God. And through this living water, we are prepared for our future work. We're being prepared for that future work, brethren. That great honor. Strive and be faithful. And then with him, with Christ, reigning with him as kings and priests to bless all the families of the earth. At the same time, you know, the Lord shows us how to do things, and he helps us to do those things. And he wants us to be preserved. It says, I'll preserve you. Hebrews 13:5. It's that keeping power of God. We should never have any doubts in our mind of that. So he's preserving us, dear ones, for this future reign. He loveth you. Remember, he loved you first. John 16:27, believe that I came out from God because he had loved me. And also, he loves us and he proposes to use us together with Jesus in the kingdom. For that future, that reign, preserving us and have us continue faithful to him. To he that overcometh and keepeth my words to the end will I give power over the nations, Revelation 2:26. And you know the one, Revelation 3:21. Him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I also overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. So, my dear brethren, as we close our thoughts, take these gems of truth with you. These pearls of great price, apply them, use them. So it's my prayer for you that you will continue to seek the pure, refreshing water of his word, and you'll drink it in as much as you can. To you that believe, with your whole heart, trust in him in all things. Be faithful in his service. Be used in his service. Be looking for ways to help and comfort and console your brethren. Plant seeds of hope and encouragement to this human family that there are better times ahead. Continue to partake of the finest of the wheat, the meat provided for you in due season, and that you would be continually furnished with everything that you need to make your calling and election sure. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to you that believe. Again, Galatians 3:22. Christ in you, the hope of glory, will become a reality. That's my prayer for you. When we see our brethren prospering and growing, it fills our heart with joy, knowing that we're one step closer to the fulfillment of this church. So, it'll end with seeing him face to face, crowned with glory and honor and immortality. So, brethren, trust in him. Lean on his word. Continue to abide under the shadow of his wings. Do not go out away from that. And remember also to pray for your brethren. Use that wonderful privilege of prayer on their behalf. And also, guide me, direct me, use me. So, brethren, trust on him. Keep strong in this most holy faith and in that wonderful love for one another. Reflect that love back to the Heavenly Father. So, brethren, may the Lord shine his countenance upon you and give you peace.